Sunday morning, November the 4th, 2018. The title is Training of the Troops, Part 4. The subtitle is Kill Them with Kindness. We kind of looked at this last week. We kind of got into a little bit of it, but I want to get into it a little further. Kill them with kindness. I don't know anybody that doesn't respond to kindness. I'm going to look at Hebrews 12 first, because this is about our training. Therefore, verse 1, then since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance and that sin which so readily clings to and entangles us, and let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us, looking away to Jesus, who is their leader and the source of our faith and is also its finisher. He, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So we see here, Jesus despised. It says he despised it. What he went through. Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary, exhausted, losing heart, and relaxing and fainting in your minds. You have not yet struggled and fought antagonizingly against sin, nor have you yet resisted and withstood to the point of pouring out your blood. And have you forgotten the divine word of appeal and encouragement in which you are reasoned with and addressed as sons? My son, do not think lightly to scorn, to submit to the correction and discipline of the Lord, for those nor lose courage and give up and faint when you are reproved or corrected by him. For the Lord corrects and disciplines everyone whom he loves, and he punishes, even scourges every son whom he accepts and welcomes to his heart and cherishes. You must submit to and endure for discipline. God is dealing with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not train and correct and discipline? Now if you're exempt from correction and left without discipline in which all of God's children share, then you are illegitimate offspring and not true sons. Moreover, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we yielded them and respected them for training us. Shall we not much more cheerfully submit to the Father of spirits and so truly live? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for only a short period of time and chastised us as seemed proper and good to them. But he disciplines us for our certain good, that we may become sharers in his own holiness. For the time being, no discipline brings joy, but seems grievous and painful. But afterwards, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. A harvest of fruit would consist in righteousness, conformity to God's will and thought, purpose, thought, and action, resulting in right living and right standing with God. It says, so then brace up and reinvigorate, set right your slackened and weakened and drooping hands, and strengthen your feeble and palsied and tottering knees, and cut through and make firm and plain and smooth straight paths for your feet, so that the lame and halting limbs may be put out of joint, but rather may be cured. Okay, I wanted to read that because training is just part of being a Christian, about doing what God's called each one of us to do. And he doesn't want us to be overwrought with sorrow because of it. And I had a little something to say to Amber. Amber, if you'd allow me to speak something to you. The Lord just said to me, at this time, the road may seem very hard, and it may seem that your things are nipping at you and pulling at you. But the thing is, as you're walking on that road, he's blessing you and prospering you. See, that's the thing. It's just like how we started. Focusing on the richness and goodness of God and what he's doing for us, even in the midst of these things that Satan's nipping at us. It's like the two paths. You could choose the broad path, that the way is easy, but you're stuck in a rut. You never get anywhere, never accomplish much. But the other path is narrow, and it says it's constricted by pressure. That's what the Amplified says. There's a lot of things that bug you on that road, but it leads away to life. And when you follow that path, it leads to prosperity. It leads to health and wholeness. Even though you have to put up with some pressure because that other kingdom's trying to crowd in on you, get you off track. So remember, it's not really anything about what Satan does. It's about what God does, what our focus is to be. If we will, we'll have that victory all the time in our forefront that we can't lose. So when we get to looking at the circumstances that we start to sink, just like Peter did. Okay. All right, let's look at, this is 1 Corinthians 13:4, the love chapter. You can get off of that track and get back into what's comfortable, but you don't go nowhere. All right, 13:4. Love endures long and is patient and kind. That's what I want you to see, kind. Kind there means good or goodwill. And this is what Webster says goodwill is, a kindly feeling of approval and support. You just have a kindly feeling towards everyone. You know, you're not mad at that one and happy at that one and so-so with that one. It's just a kindly, goodwill type of attitude. Is everybody about to go to sleep? Do y'all need to stand up and shake yourselves a little bit? Okay. All right. Now, Luke. Luke 6. Now, look like you're kind of struggling there a little bit. If you need to stand up, if you get sleepy. Luke 6, 27. But I say to you who are listening now to me, love your enemies. Treat well those who detest you and pursue you with hatred. Invoke blessings upon and pray for the happiness of those who curse you. Implore God's blessings upon those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the jaw or cheek, offer the other jaw or cheek also. And from him who takes away your outer garment, do not withhold your undergarment as well. Give away to everyone who begs of you, and of him who takes away from you your goods, do not demand or require them back again. And as you would like and desire that men would do to you, do exactly so to them. If you love those who love you, what quality of credit and thanks is that to you? For even the sinners love their lovers. And if you are kind and good and do favors to and benefit those who are kind and good and do favors to and benefit you, what quality of credit and thanks is that to you? For even the preeminently sinners do the same. So this is an attitude. And if you lend money at interest to those from whom you hope to receive, what quality of credit and thanks is that to you? Even notorious sinners lend money at interest to sinners so as to recover as much again. But love your enemies and be kind and do good and lend, expecting and hoping for nothing in return, considering nothing is lost and despairing of no one. And then your recompense will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind and charitable and good to the ungrateful and the selfish and the wicked. So be merciful. So be merciful, even as your Father is. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and pronounce guilty, and you will not be condemned to pronounce guilty. Acquit and forgive and release. Let it drop, and you will be acquitted and forgiven and released. And then, isn't this amazing? Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Will they give into the bosom? For with the measure you deal out, it will be measured back to you. So he is likening how you treat people with your giving. You know, a lot of times people just pick out scriptures to use, but I like to read them in their entirety. And what is the framework around the whole thought of what's being conveyed here. You know, a lot of these things were written as letters. I know Paul, the epistles were letters. Now, they broke them down into chapters and verses, but a lot of times I think we lose the intent of the overall letter by doing it that way. Because how we treat people good. If our Father, and seeing all the wickedness of all the horrible, wicked things that men have done, His kindness and goodness is still extended to them for salvation. So He wants us to be the same way. Okay, now flip over to Matthew. Matthew 43. This probably is saying close to the same thing.
Matthew what?
5, I'm sorry. New book, 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, to show that you are the children of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the wicked, rise on the wicked and on the good, and makes the rain fall upon the upright and the wrongdoers. For if you love those who love you, what reward can you have? Do not even the tax collectors do that? If you greet only your brethren, what more than others are you doing? You therefore must be perfect. Think about that. Perfect. As your Heavenly Father is perfect. So He reigns on the good and the just and the unjust. To me, kindness is just when someone reviles you, or even people. If you listen to the news, any, and you hear those things about that, praying for that person to come to the light. I think that's a kindness, wouldn't you? Not cursing them, well, you sorry, dirty, whatever. No. Blessing them, not cursing them. Okay, we don't want to cut off our blessings by being of the wrong spirit. The Lord said this to me. We need to be careful that we don't get on the wrong side of things. We're not calling fire down on people. Well, I have heard a lot of it, just people in general. I'm ready for the tribunals. I'm ready for them all to hang, and I'm ready. Well, I'm ready for justice to be done. I'll be honest. But I said, Lord, I don't want them leaving this earth without having an opportunity to choose You. Okay, 1 Timothy 2, which is praying for our leaders. This is the greatest kindness that you can do for a leader. 1 Timothy 2:1. First of all, then, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be offered on behalf of all men, for kings and for all in positions of authority or high responsibility, that we may pass a quiet and undisturbed life, a peaceable one in all godliness and reverence and seriousness in every way. For such is good and right, and pleasing and acceptable to God our Savior, who wishes all men to be saved, to perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the truth. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So the greatest kindness that we can do for our leaders or anyone in authority is to pray that prayer for them. Okay, now back to 1 Corinthians. And the Lord's Prayer would be another one to interject. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, Lord, in their life as it is in heaven. Okay, 1 Corinthians 4:9. This is Paul. Now, Paul was an example to the body of Christ. For it seems to me that God has made an exhibit of us apostles, exposing us to view last of all like men in a tribunal procession who are sentenced to death and displayed at the end of the line. For we have become a spectacle to the world, a show in the world's amphitheater with both men and angels as spectators. We are looked upon us as fools on account of Christ and for His sake, but you are so amazingly wise and prudent in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are highly esteemed, but we are in disrepute and contempt. To this hour we have gone both hungry and thirsty. We wear but one undergarment. We are roughly knocked about and wander around homeless. And we still toil unto weariness, working hard with our own hands. With men, when men revile us, we bless them. When we are persecuted, we take it patiently and endure it. When we are slandered and defamed, we answer softly and bring comfort. We have been made and are now the rubbish and filth of the world. I do not write this to shame you, but to warn and counsel you as my beloved children. After all, though you should have 10,000 teachers in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the glad tidings. So I urge and implore you, be imitators of me. So what's he saying here? We're training. The Lord's training us to be leaders in the body of Christ. What's he saying to these others? They're still prideful, thinking it's in their own self. They're not ready yet to be off-scourging. They're not ready to be out there and have people insult them, make fun of them, treat them ugly, treat them in a way that's not kind, and they still act godly. When they curse, they bless. That's what comes with leadership. You're held accountable for a lot more. These others are still children. He said there's not many fathers. I didn't write this down. I'm not sure where it is. I think it's over in, is it in John? It talks about there's not many fathers. Where is it? First John. Let me look at that. It just kind of came up. That'd be a good one right there. First John, do you know? My little children, verse 2, or chapter 2, First John. Hold on here, we'll find it. Of chapter 2? Okay.
Is that what you're looking for?
Yes, it is. Okay. This is Paul writing, I guess. Is it Paul? It's John. Sorry. Duh, it's John. I'm writing to you, little children, because of for his name's sake your sins are forgiven. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you've come to know, beware of him who was from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you've been victorious over the wicked. I write to you, boys, because you have come to know of the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you've come to know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you're strong and vigorous in the word of God abiding in you, and you have been victorious over the wicked one. That's not exactly what I was looking for, but I was thinking there was another one that talked about there's not many fathers. But anyway, you see the point here. As we're trained, God is training us to manhood. Not children, not teenagers, not, you know, he wants us to walk in full authority. That means if we're reviled, like Jesus was reviled. He didn't revile back. Even at the cross, it said he was led like a sheep to the slaughter. Okay, we'll go on because I don't know where that other is. All right, James 3. All right, it says here, not many of you should become teachers. Like we had a choice. I'm just going, Lord, like I had a choice. Yeah, not many of you should become teachers, my brethren, for you know that teachers will be judged by a higher standard and with greater severity. For we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things, but if anyone does not offend in speech, he is a fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature. So if we can learn to walk even, be even tempered. We're not going to show kindness to one and be mean to the other. If we set bits in the horses' mouths to make them obey us, we can turn their whole bodies about. Likewise, look at the ships. Though they are so great and are driven by rough winds, they are steered by a very small rudder. Wherever the impulse of the helmsman determines, even so the tongue is a little member and it can boast of great things. See how much wood or how great a forest a tiny spark can set ablaze? These are people that have learned to control their tongue. The tongue is a fire, a world of wickedness set among our members, contaminating and depraving the whole body and setting on fire the will of birth, being united by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea animal can be tamed and has been tamed by human genius. But the human tongue can be tamed by no man. It is a restless, undisciplined, irreconcilable evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in God's image. We can't do this. Not in be mature and walk in the faith and victory we've been talking about. Out of the same mouth come forth blessing and cursing. These things, my brethren, ought not to be so. Does a fountain send forth from the same opening fresh water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives or grapevine figs? Neither can a salt spring furnish fresh water. See, this is what part of leadership is all about. Who is there among you who is wise and intelligent? Let him by his whole noble living show forth his works with the humility of true wisdom. Wow. But if you have bitter jealousy and contention in your hearts, do not pride yourselves on it, and thus be in defiance of and false to the truth. This wisdom is not such as comes down from above, but is earthly and spiritual, even devilish. For wherever there's jealousy and contention, there will also be confusion and all sorts of evil and vile practices. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. Then it is peace-loving. Blessed are the peacemakers. Courteous, considerate, gentle. It is willing to yield to reason, full of compassion. There's that diplomacy. Full of compassion and good fruits. It is wholehearted and straightforward, impartial and unfeigned, free from doubts, wavering, and insincerity. And the harvest of righteousness, the conformity to God's will in thought and deed, is the fruit of the seed sown in peace by those who work for and make peace in themselves and in others, that peace, which means concord, agreement, and harmony between individuals with undisturbedness and a peaceful mind, free from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts. High mandate. This is a teacher. A teacher. Pretty high. Key words. It's justified, or you're justified or condemned by your words, Jesus said. Blessing or cursing words. First part of love is kind. Being kind. That's benevolent. Being benevolent. Okay. Ephesians 4:32. Oh, help us, Lord. Remember all the things I read to you about Brother Hagin, about staying in the chicken coop. He wanted so bad to report him, but the love of God constrained him. He wouldn't use his words against them. Why? Because it would have hurt him in the long run. Would have kept him from being everything he wanted to be in God. Ephesians 4:32. Huh, 4:32. No, that's 5. Just a minute.
No, it's 4.
I know, but I was in 5. And become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. So whatever you have to forgive somebody for, God has forgiven a whole lot more than you will ever have to. So he's saying, as Christ has, as God has forgiven you, as a favor to him, forgive them. All right, good or goodwill. All right, scriptures on kindness. We're just going to look at a few here. Acts 28:2 talks about when Paul was on the island and they were so cold and been shipwrecked. They said the natives on the island showed them unusual kindness. Well, guess what? Because of that unusual kindness, what happened? Paul healed everybody on the island. started with Publius' father. I mean, they were unusually kind people. And God visited them. The whole island was, anyone they brought to him was healed of whatever sickness that they had. It's sowing seeds. Did you know that? Kindness. All right, 2 Corinthians 6. One. Laboring together with him, then we beg of you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Okay, that merciful kindness by which God exerts his holy influence on souls and turns them to Christ, keeping and strengthening them. Do not receive it to no purpose. So God uses his kindness to draw men to him. Jesus went about doing good, healing. Didn't say Jesus went about getting people to believe and then he would heal them. No. He went about doing good first, being kind and healing, and it brought him to God, the kindness and goodness of God. For he says, in the time of favor, I have listened to and heeded your call, and I have helped you on the day of deliverance. Behold, now is truly the time for a gracious welcome and acceptance. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstruction in anybody's way, so that no fault may be found and our ministry blamed and discredited. But we commend ourselves in every way as servants of God through great endurance in tribulation and suffering, in hardships and privations and sore straits and calamities, in beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless watching, hunger, by innocence and purity, knowledge and spiritual insight, long-suffering and patience, kindness in the Holy Spirit and unfeigned love, by the word of truth and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left hand, amid honor and dishonor and defaming and evil report and praise and good report, as deceivers and truthful and honest, as unknown and ignored and well-known and recognized, as dying and yet here we are alive, as chastened by suffering, not killed, as grieved and mourning, yet always rejoicing, as poor, bestowing riches on many, as having nothing, and possessing all things. Our mouth is open to you, Corinthians, and our heart is expanded wide. There is no lack of room for you in our hearts, but you lack room in your affections for us. By way of return, then do this for me. I speak to you as children. Open wide your hearts also. What's he talking about here? About their even temper. About their goodness and their kindness despite all in any circumstance that comes along. See, God's goodness and kindness to us allows us to show forth that goodness and kindness to others. Okay, just a few more. Colossians 3. Verse 12. It says, clothe yourselves, therefore, as God's own chosen ones, purified and holy and well-beloved by putting on behavior, marked by tender-hearted pity and mercy, kind feeling, a lowly opinion of yourself, gentle ways, patience. Be gentle and forbearing with one another. If one has a difference against another, readily pardoning each other, even as the Lord has forgiven you, so must you also. And above all, love and enfold yourselves with the bond of perfectness. And let the peace from Christ rule. See, if we'll walk this way, we will have a life of peace. In your hearts, okay, I'm trying to not read the brackets here. Let's see. To which, as one body, you were also called, and be thankful. Let the word Christ have its home and dwell in you. In richness, and as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom. All right. Talks about singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in his person, giving praise to God the Father through him. Okay. There's several of those. Titus. These are all through the epistles about our attitudes. First sermon Jesus preached was on our attitudes, how we treat people, being even. If you fall to pieces about everything, how are you going to teach anybody else to be strong? Okay, Titus 3:1. Remind people to be submissive to magistrates and authorities, to be obedient, to be prepared and willing to do any upright and honorable work. To slander, abuse, or speak evil of no one, to avoid being contentious, to be forbearing, and show unqualified courtesy toward everybody. That's kindness. For we also were once thoughtless and senseless, obstinate and disobedient, deluded and misled. Slave to all sorts of cravings and pleasures, wasting our days in malice and jealousy and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior to man appeared, he saved us not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but because of his own pity and mercy by cleansing of the new birth and renewing of the Holy Spirit. When he poured out richly upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior, that we might be justified by his grace. That we might be acknowledged and accounted as conformed to the divine will and purpose, thought and action. And that we might become heirs of eternal life according to our hope. This message is most trustworthy, and concerning these things I want you to insist steadfastly so that those who have believed in God may be careful to apply themselves to honorable occupations and to doing good, for such things are right, excellent and right, but good and profitable for the people. But avoid stupid and foolish controversies and genealogies and dissensions and wranglings about the law, for they are unprofitable and futile. A man who is factious, after admonishing him a first and second time, reject. Well aware that such a person has utterly changed, he goes on sinning, is convicted of guilt and self-condemned. So, just talking about how we treat each other, how we act towards one another, how we keep the peace and keep the power of God flowing. Okay, 2 Peter 1, 3. For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by unto his own glory and excellent virtue. By means of these he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, that so through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, corruption that is in the world because of covetous, lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature. For this reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy, and in exercising virtue, develop knowledge and intelligence, and in exercising knowledge, develop self-control. In exercising self-control, develop steadfastness, patience, endurance, and in exercising steadfastness, develop godliness, piety. Exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection. Exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. For all these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you. They will keep you from being idle or unfruitful unto the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, who forever lacks these qualities is blind, spiritually short-sighted, seeing only what is near to him and has become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins. But because of this, brethren, be all the more solicitous and eager to make sure, to ratify, to strengthen, to make steadfast your calling and election. For if you do this, you will never stumble or fall. Thus there will be richly and abundantly provided for you entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I was thinking about Jesus. What he endured at the cross propelled him to the highest seat with the name that's above all name. Isn't that what he's saying? Mm-hmm. And well, sure, kindness is power because kindness is love. Love never fails. Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. One of the fruit of the Spirit is kindness, or kind. Goodness, things that help and not harm. The golden rule and the royal law. Golden rule, this is Matthew 7:12. Like Brother Hagin, how, if what am I about to say or do going to affect the other fellow? God's not going to speak to you something against His word. So then, whatever you desire that others would do to you and for you, even so do you also to and for them, for this is the sum of the law and the prophets. Okay. The royal law, this is James 2:8. If you indeed fulfill the royal law in accordance with the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well.